Thank you, worship team. Yeah, I put a box of Kleenex here because I don't know what's going to happen today. So we're continuing our sermon series on being an overcomer. So I'm going to be speaking on overcoming fear. Not that easy of a topic, right? I get to have you guys examine your fears and wrestle with your fears. Actually, I don't. God gets to. But I'm going to go over a little bit of what fear is. I'm going to share my journey of overcoming fear. Give you some tips about how to overcome fear through God, and we'll have Linda come share her testimony of how she overcame fear, and then we'll have an opportunity to respond as well. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer first. God, fear is not an easy thing to confront. Fear is not an easy thing to acknowledge. Right now, and by the power of Jesus' blood, I just command any spirit of fear to release people's minds and meet people's hearts. And Holy Spirit, you come and bring your peace and love and sound mind. May the words I speak be yours. And Lord, you don't want us to live in fear. You don't want us to be bound by that. Amen. Like I said, it's not an easy topic. I actually was supposed to speak back in August, and then that got pushed to September, and I was going to speak on stewardship. So I was going to tell you how to use your money or how to use what God's given you. That's not an easy topic either, but man, it's nothing compared to this one. But I feel like God put it on my heart, and so don't shoot the messenger. I feel like he has some stuff to share from my life, and I think he's going to highlight stuff that we all need to address. So it might stir up some uncomfortable feelings, and to that I say good. Sometimes we need that, right? We need that Holy Spirit to just convict us and say, I need to take a step of faith. It's interesting. I got an email from our kids' school this week, and they're going over a thing called HERO. So Eli, you remember what a HERO is? So it's something that happens when there's like violence at school. They're taught to hide, escape, run, and overcome. I thought that's good. That's actually really healthy, right, for something that could be violent. But in the spiritual realm and in our lives, when we're dealing with fear, we actually want to just overcome. In my life previously, I hid, I escaped, I ran from fear. But God showed me how to overcome. So if we're going to learn about overcoming fear, let's define it first. So Webster says it's an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. So it's a strong emotion. Dictionary.com, a distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, evil, pain, etc., whether the threat is real or imagined. So some fears are real. They're things we face, and some things are just in our mind. Our mind makes us believe it's going to happen. Cambridge Dictionary, an unpleasant emotion or thought that you have when you are frightened or worried by something dangerous, painful, or bad that is happening or might happen. Same thing, it might happen or it currently is happening. Now, there was a study done that showed that 85% of what we fear never happens. I thought that's really comforting, right? It's like we don't need to fear most things, but even there's 15%, that's still some things we could be afraid of, right? But it's interesting, of that 15%, 79% of those either were, when people were confronted with those fears that actually happened, they handled them better, or they experienced a valuable lesson worth learning that they wouldn't have experienced if they didn't, if they weren't confronted by that fear. So really, that leaves only 3%. 3% of fears are actually experienced, and they're negative or really bad or worse than we thought, right? I'm going to put some acronyms up on the screen here. Maybe you've heard some of these. Fear, false evidence appearing real. False expectations appearing real. Face everything and run. I think I've had those in my life. I've experienced all of those. It's true. I wanted to kind of just give some fun facts or whatever for you guys, but I came up with a website that had 10 surprising physical effects of living in fear. I'm going to put them on the screen. I'm not going to read through all of them, but you can read through them. And I know for my life, I've dealt with a lot of these. Heartburn, for sure. Job performance, loss of sense of humor. You know, fear is very hard on our bodies, especially over a prolonged period. Our bodies aren't meant to live under fear. You know, fear can be related to a lot of different things. It can be related to our health, our finances, what others think about us. We can have fear of authority. Kids, sometimes you have fear of authority. We can have fear of being wrong. My wife doesn't think I have that. Or fear of missing out, FOMO. I looked online. Chapman University put out a, they've been doing it for like 6 years. They had the top 10 fears of the year. So in 2020, and just so you know, we have it a little different on the screen here in person, because on the recording, I'm actually on the side right there, so we try to mix it up a little bit. But yeah, you can read through those. A lot of those fears that we're dealing with right now in society, there's pandemic, there's things about being sick, or loved ones being sick, finances, terrorism, biological warfare, all that kind of stuff. So they surveyed people with 95 different fears. Which ones are you afraid of or strongly afraid of? Anyone want to guess what the bottom two on that list were? Ready to guess? The second to last was clowns. Some people are still afraid of clowns, 5%. The other one was animals. They had dogs, rats, etc. I thought that one actually might be higher, but that was the last. So we all have different fears that we deal with. So that's a little bit of what fear is. And the second thing I wanted to highlight, or I feel like God wanted to highlight, is fear is not, unhealthy fear. I forgot, I skipped over a little bit there. Fear, I categorize it in two different categories. There's unhealthy and there's healthy, right? I want my kids to have healthy fear of the street, of cars, right? I don't want them to just run out there. We don't want to have them jump off three-story buildings, things like that. So there's those kind of fears, and there's unhealthy fear. You take fear too far, and it becomes something that's unhealthy. So the second thing I felt like the Lord wanted to highlight is that unhealthy fear is not from Him. So let's look at 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. I'm going to put three different translations up here because I think they use different words, and I like the depth it brings. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Second, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and sound mind. And I like the amplified one because it really brings a lot more depth to it. It's, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but He has given a spirit of power and of love and sound judgment and personal discipline, abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. So you see the contrast there. There's the Spirit of the Lord. He has power, love, self-discipline that He gives us, or spirit of fear, timidity, cowardice, right? So very, very contrasting. So one is of the Lord, one is not. Fear itself is mentioned over 500 times in the Bible. And that includes things of like the fear of the Lord, good things like that. But the commands, fear not and be not afraid, they occur over 100 times. So 100 times in the Bible, it's telling us don't be afraid. Fear is a very real thing we all face. We all have different fears, but it's very prevalent in our lives. So if fear is not from God, who is it from? Well, in John 14:30, he's called the ruler of this world. In Revelation 12:9, it's called the deceiver of the whole world. So our enemy, Satan, he's the one that brings fear. That's his weapon of choice often. He likes to get that into us, and it diverts us, and it separates us from the love that God has for us. You know, my kids like listening to music, and one song that I like a lot is Fear is a Liar by Zach Williams. I wanted to play the song, but really it just takes too much time. But some of the lyrics, I did put a link in the sermon notes on our website. Not notes, the sermon, if you go to click on the sermon, there's some notes in there or things. There's a link to the music video. It's really powerful. But I like how he personifies fear. He says he is a liar. When he told you you're not worthy, when he told you... you're not loved. When he told you you're not beautiful, you'll never be enough. Fear, he is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear, he is a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness, cast your fear in the fire. Because fear, he is a liar. And then the bridge, I think it's called the bridge part, it's let your fire fall and cast out all my fears. Then it's Holy Spirit, bring your fire, cast out that evil, that fear. You know, Satan is the father of lies. That's one of his names given to him in the Bible. So we need to understand where fear comes from to be able to confront it. Well, Damon and I had our first worldview class, biblical worldview last week. And it's really important to see that. We live in a world that's trying to come against us, to try to come against biblical values. So if we don't recognize that, then we're going to get onslaughts of these attacks, and we're not going to know how to handle it. So it's what lens we're seeing the Bible through. In our class, we put on different glasses. We say, oh, you can put on this glass, and you're going to view the world this way. And you really want to have the Bible as the glass you're going to look at. You're going to see things a lot different. You're going to see things and be able to handle them the way the Lord wants you to. A couple of verses I wanted to highlight that with. In John 15, it says, the world loves you as its own if you belong to it, but you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. And then Jesus praying to God the Father for his disciples. This is right before he gets crucified. This is at the Last Supper. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to the world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. It's very strong language, right? The world hates us. If we live out of our biblical values, the world's going to hate us. It's not easy. That's a fear, right? We don't want people to come against us. That's a fear that we have to face. You know, when I was looking at this, I thought, what's a good example of how the world pushes fear? And one thing I thought of is, well, it's a phrase, follow the money. And it's really about marketing. I looked up the phrase, fear sells. I don't know if you guys have ever heard that, but in business, we talk about that stuff, business classes. It's very true, it's very powerful. So I'm gonna read a couple excerpts from Brain World Magazine. It's an article titled, Why Fear Sells, The Business of Panic and Paranoia. It's interesting, this was released in 2012, and then it was re-updated in 2019, right before the pandemic hit. So listen to this. What's more, as anyone can attest who's ever had the bejesus scared out of them by the sound of a branch scratching on a window pane on a windy night, fear is far more potent than our facility for reason. And it goes into some science. The amygdala sprouts a profusion of connections to higher brain regions, neurons that carry one-way traffic from the amygdala to neocortex. Few connections run from the cortex to the amygdala, however. That allows the amygdala to override the product of the logical, thoughtful cortex, but not vice versa. And then it says, UCLA neurobiologist Michael Fanslow says, fear is, quote, far, far more powerful than reason. I don't think we give fear enough, respect isn't the right word, but it has a lot of power when we allow it to have it. The second part I wanted to highlight was, it says, pharmaceutical ads play on our fear of death and disease and aging to get us to buy their products. But I believe that's not the only fear tactic at work. Pharmaceutical companies also play on one of the most subtle yet powerful of psychological tricks, our fear of social isolation, of being outsiders. Countless studies show that humans have a universal need to belong, dating way back to our early ancestors for whom survival depended on being a member of a band or tribe. For most of us, the thought of being left out or alone is terrifying. Right? Last year, like when isolation and lockdown, I've never been through that before. That was depressing. Last little snippet is, so whether it's germs or disease or some feared version of future self, marketers are amazingly adept at identifying a fear, activating it, amplifying it, and preying on it in ways that hit us at the deepest subconscious level. Sad to say, but businesses are good at this. They pay psychologists big bucks to come into their companies to know how to manipulate people. And that's something we need to be aware of, because fear is often a way that they do that. The third point is, when confronted with unhealthy fear, we have a choice. So we can resist it, we can address it, or we can let it remain to influence us. I think my story is going to show some of those choices. I'm going to highlight some of that in just a second. In Romans 8:15, I wanted to highlight this verse. It says, the spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. I think this verse to me highlights that difference, that we were slaves and we were bound to fear, but we have this Holy Spirit in us. It says we don't have to live in fear again, meaning that we're removed from that. We can choose to go back and live that way, but we don't have to. We have God's brought us adoption to sonship, to inheritance. My question is, does fear draw us closer to God, or does it put a wall between us and God? I think the answer to that can be both. I think it depends on how we respond to it, because we're going to encounter fears. So I'm going to share a little bit of my story. Hopefully, I don't go through too many Kleenex, but my story starts back in October 1st, 1986. Anybody remember what that day was, especially for the older audience? That was the Whittier Narrows earthquake. So that morning, I was a sixth grader. I was 11 years old, getting ready for school, and house shook like crazy, and it lasted forever, it felt like. My first experience of a real earthquake. And I went to school that day, came home, and that afternoon, I invited fear into my life. I sat in front of the TV, and I watched the news. And I'm an internal processor, I'm a thinker, I'm an analyzer. I heard all the stats, the figures, and I heard all that stuff, and I took it in. And I didn't even realize it, but I took all that stuff. I couldn't go to school for 3 or 4 days because I had heard that within the next 72 hours, there's X percent of chance of something bigger or something this or that. And my mind, I had to wait for those 72 hours to finish. After that, okay, I was kind of able to get back into it, but that was the first time I invited fear in. Fast forward 20-some years later, 2009, at our retreat, Pastor Dean. So a little background, I had, 2008, financial crisis, we had a family business, wasn't going well, it was tough. A lot of fears, fear of my future, fear of finances for myself, for my parents, my brother, Eli was 6 months old, just had a new boy, and it was a scary time. At the second session, we had an opportunity to stay around for extra prayer. So I said, yeah, I had some other things going on that I thought I was going to get prayer for, but that's not what God wanted. I got put in a group with Nancy Harada, John Nero, Sang. I think Sang was in that group, Joanne, Deja. And we went around and we prayed for each other. It was awesome. It was an awesome time. And it came to my turn. I had some other things that I felt like I wanted to pray for. And John, we got through that part, and then John Nero goes, if you're having back issues, you're having stomach issues, what else is going on? There's probably something else. And I couldn't hide from it. I had to share what was going on. I just started weeping. I have fear of all that stuff related to my work situation. And, the night before, we went out to dinner before the first session, and I couldn't eat. I actually ordered a salad. I think my wife looked at me like I was crazy. Like, what are you ordering a salad for? And I just felt like I couldn't eat anything. That's how much my stomach was in a knot. And after that prayer time, by that evening, I felt mostly normal. I was eating like normal. By the end of the retreat, I felt fine. My stomach was back to normal. So that was my first experience of what being released from fear was. But I dealt with it on some levels. But there was more to come. In 2012, our church launched PMTs, prayer ministry teams. And Barry asked elders and leaders, staff, to go through a session so the ministry teams could get practice, and then we could have experience and be able to share, oh yeah, it was really good, you should do it. So I did it, same thing. I went in with one thought, and I don't have time to go into the details, but when we got to the end, it was very interesting. So some fears were highlighted during the time, and the team led me into a time to encounter Jesus, and I could see him in my mind's eye. I felt really at peace, and they said, can you give your fears to Jesus? And at that moment, I saw my fear like a little stuffy. It was like warm and cuddly. I mean, it's creepy almost, right? Like my fear was like, it was like my little treasure, like my little blankie. And I had it there in my hand, and Jesus was asking for it, and I couldn't give it to him. I was like, in my mind, I knew I didn't want it, but it had been a part of me for so long that it was who I was. And how do I let go of this? They asked me, do you trust Jesus to take it from you? And I'm like, I don't know. And so then it was a really awesome time. But then they said, well, ask him if he'll trade you like offer you something in trade. So I saw he took his sash, a purple sash, off his waist, and he held it out for me. And he didn't take my fear from me. He allowed me to just give it to him. Once he did that, I felt like, okay, you're giving me something of you. I can give you. So we made that exchange, and it just blew my mind. I shared that with people after, and it was like, I don't know why I couldn't let my fear go. Like, so I knew it was bad, but it was just a part of me. You know, fast forward another few years, 2015, 2016. So I had some healing from fear, so to speak, but there were things that I still hadn't dealt with. I heard some of the elders and different people were going through Catherine's intensive prayer ministry, IPM, and I was hearing things that they were breaking and they were getting freed from. And I said, not just that I want that, I said, I need that. And I looked back at my application. So we had to turn in like an 8-page application. I don't know, it was huge. All your history and all this stuff. But I looked back at it this week. I have a copy of it. I looked back, and one of the things I wrote down of why I wanted to take that class or go through that was, I wrote down word for word, I don't want to pass my junk onto my kids. You know, since that time, I've been able to be freed from fear, but it's not easy. It takes a step. It takes a step of faith. You know, I'm not immune from fears. Fears still come at me, but I've learned how to handle them and how to get past them quicker. Now, my life hasn't been easy since then. I spent a week in the hospital after passing out at home. My wife should come up and get a testimony on how to overcome fear of your husband passing out twice and calling the ambulance twice and within a couple years. You know, God has shown me how to overcome fear. And then last year, COVID hits, right? Like I said earlier, we had that lockdown, all these different fears I've never experienced. But I felt a familiarity to it. That same presence wanting to like kind of just rest heavy on me. So those first month or two was hard. Like I went through a couple, you know, days of just battling, like being depressed and anxious and fearful, and it was not easy. And you know what? The Lord told me, you don't have to talk about this part, because I know this part's hard. Like some of you might think, when I talk about COVID, it's insensitive. I'm gonna go in a little bit deeper, but that's not my heart. My heart is to do what the Lord put on my heart. No, I have to confess, I had to overcome a fear even to talk about this. I have a fear that I might get an email that's nasty that says, oh, you didn't do this with love or whatever. But you know what? I felt like that's a false expectation appearing real. So I'm going to go for it. What I didn't share about my experience in 1986 with that earthquake was that in all those healing times I've had and those different experiences I shared, that thought never came up once. So God just brought that to mind just a few weeks ago. And it was interesting. I'm like, why? I never realized that's when I invited fear in. And so it was really emotional for me and powerful. And then this week, he said, you know why I showed you that? It's because there's other kids that are dealing with that right now. COVID is their 1986 experience. You need to speak for them, speak out. Help parents understand, help kids understand that fear is real. They don't need to, I don't want them to have to take 20 years to get rid of that crap. You know, some of the kids, the junior high is in here this morning. Some of the other kids are in here. I don't know what you guys have heard or what you guys know about COVID, but I'm going to share some stats this morning, some stuff I found that I felt needed to be shared. This isn't meant to be I'm telling parents what to do, but parents, we make the decisions for our kids about our health. So we need to do it from the place that's of healthy fear, of caution, not of unhealthy fear. I did some research last year, and I didn't feel COVID was scary for my kids. The stuff I found is like, it doesn't affect kids. The older you get, the more severe it is. I felt very much at peace that my kids are not in danger. And I even had to confront that because my family got COVID last December. And My son Eli was the last one to get his symptoms, and when he started getting his symptoms, he actually freaked out. And he started crying, I'm going to die. And I had to look him in the eye and say, no, you're not. Now, did I know that 100%? No, I don't know the future. But I know the stuff I had researched that you're going to be okay. You're a healthy kid. You're going to be fine. I'm going to share some stats here about how COVID compares to the flu, because I think some of this gets lost in the media. That doesn't get said enough that we're putting things on our kids that don't need to be there. This is not about adults. This is all about kids right now, because kids do not need to have that 1986 experience. They need to be freed from fear. So go ahead, Damon, put the first slide. And all this stuff is on the website, too. I put all the links if you guys want to go look at it. It's from the CDC. But this is deaths of COVID versus deaths in the flu. So the first box, COVID for 18 months versus 0 to 17-year-olds. That's how many deaths. So if you divide that out for a 12-month period, it's a yellow one. That's how many deaths of COVID compared to the flu. So those other ones are flu seasons for the past, 5 years. Let that soak in a little bit, because I don't think that's what we're hearing. That's not what we're getting told. Damon, do the next one. The next one is hospitalizations. I thought, well, maybe hospitalizations will be a lot more. And I'll be full disclosure on the hospitalizations. It's really tough to find stats for this. There's a COVID-net hospital surveillance thing. That's the only thing I could find, and it represents 10%. It's like a sampling of the U.S., 10%. So multiply it by 10, that's the number I got. So even if that number is a little on the low side, even if you double that, it's still in line with other flu seasons. You know, have we been putting things on our kids? Have we been putting unnecessary fear on our kids when we didn't do this with flu seasons? It's very similar. I'm not saying COVID's the flu. I mean, it's a coronavirus. That's like what flus are. But look at our kids. I don't want to treat them the same as I do my grandma, who's 90 years old. That's very different. They're very different population. So parents, are we passing on unhealthy fear to our kids? And if we're not, are we allowing them to suck in things from society? Is society trying to push fear on our kids? Or if we're not, and they haven't taken it on, it's getting thrown in their face all the time. We have to stand with them, and we have to help them to resist fear. You know, another hot button topic is vaccinations. The reason I felt like the Lord wanted me to talk about this is that this coming week, the FDA is going to vote on whether to do an emergency use authorization for 5 to 11-year-olds. Do those numbers look like it's an emergency for 5 to 11-year-olds? It wasn't for flu seasons in the past. The White House said they have a plan to rapidly get 28 million kids vaccinated. Is it necessary? It's funny because the CDC just came out this week too, and they were asking them about the vaccination plan for the young kids, and they said, well, even if they get vaccinated, they still recommend them wearing masks. So, and there's just all this thing of that article I read from, where fear overrides reason. At some point, we have to pull back and ask questions, and we have to be like, does this make sense? Is this right? And so for me and my family, I'm not vaccinated. I'm not going to vaccinate my kids because, to me, three questions haven't been answered. Is it safe? Is it effective and necessary? Safety, I think, is a huge thing for our kids. I mean, this is a new technology. My 12-year-old has a lot more life left in him than I do, God willing. He's got 60, 70 years. Am I going to put something into him that in 5 years they find out it causes cancer or whatever? I mean, I don't know. To me, it's a risk. Knowing those numbers, that's too much of a risk for me. If it's for me, I'm like, okay, there's more risk. If it's my grandma, my mom, and dad, I mean, it becomes much more difficult at that point. But I think for the kids, it's a lot. For me, it's a lot clearer. And like I said, this is my stance. I'm not telling you what to do. I just don't want us as parents to make choices based on fear. So I want to protect our kids from fear, but I also don't want to make choices for them based on unhealthy fear. I know what I just shared is probably not easy, and maybe some of you are even mad that I share it, but when God showed me this week that what happened in 1986 with that earthquake and how I lived under that for so long. I said, you know what? It's worth it to talk about it. It's worth to get it out there. I'm not saying you have to agree with me. I just want you to make choices not based on fear, because fear is real. So that's been my journey of overcoming fear. I went from fear being a false expectation appearing real, or face everything and run, to I'm choosing now to face everything and rise. Rise by the power of my Jesus and his blood. I'm going to have Linda come up in a little bit, but I'm going to go over some things about overcoming fear. You know, Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith shows reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things we cannot see. And what do we have our faith in? I found this list of seven skills necessary to overcome fear. It's in Psychology Today. I'll read them out to you. Learn to trust yourself. Take ownership of your life. Identify the components of your fear. Neutralize the above components. Build your self-esteem. Know that you can learn whatever you need to succeed at whatever you are afraid of. Believe at the very core that this can be done. All valuable tools. I mean, those are good things to do, but they're missing one thing. It's by the power of Jesus, by his blood. Learn to trust yourself through Jesus, through his blood. Take ownership of your life through Jesus. Down to the last one, believe at the very core this can be done because of what Jesus has done for us. That's faith, right? You know, Pastor Barry shared about faith a couple weeks ago. He identified it as a verb. It's an action. He said his definition was a response or action that demonstrates a person's believes what God has said or has promised. You know, and he called us to take steps of faith, take steps of action. All right, why don't you put those other acronyms. So some other acronyms for faith are this. Forwarding all issues to heaven. For you English majors, I'm sorry on this next one. Fear ain't in this house. Faith, or for anything, I trust him. Find assurance in trusting him. Now, when the Lord, this was in September when he told me that I was going to be speaking on fear over faith, or faith over fear, he brought one person to mind. Or actually, he just said that somebody else has to give their testimony. It's not just you. And right away, I knew it was Linda. And she shared like 7 years ago. I'm going to walk around while I get stuff ready before she comes up. It was about 7 years ago, she said, that she shared. She gave her testimony of her journey through fear and overcoming it. And so I approached her about it, and she was hesitant because she said, I did this already. And I said, that's fine. I just felt like the Lord he highlighted you. So if you don't feel comfortable, then I'm okay with that. But she was very gracious, and she said, I'll ask the Holy Spirit if I'm supposed to. And there was one word that Daniel, her husband, shared with me, because I asked him first, do you think your wife would be open? And when he said one thing, it just said, I know it's got to be her, because he said, the trajectory her life has taken since she overcame fear is just amazing. And that word resonated, because my life has been a different trajectory. When you overcome fear, when you like root it out of you, things happen differently. So Linda, why don't you come up and share, give us your story, your example of how you overcame.
I'm a little shorter. Thanks, Kyle, for sharing, you know, your journey. It totally resonates with me. I really appreciate that you shared the heart behind it is because you didn't want your kids to have that fear in their lives, and you don't want kids in this lifetime to go through that, through this pandemic, so thank you for sharing that. I was about 8 years old when something very scary happened to me. And I believe it was this incident that began my many years of struggles with fear. My family and my grandparents, we were going out to dinner, and my dad parked the car across the street from the restaurant, And my dad and sister went inside the restaurant to see how long it was going to take. And my mom was getting kind of antsy, so she said, Linda, would you go check on your dad? I have to stay in the car with, or stay near the car with my grandfather, my Jichan, because he had a stroke, and then he kind of would tend to wander off, so she was worried about him. So she said, I'll never forget these words. She said, I'll stand on the corner, watch you cross the street, because I want to make sure no one will kidnap my baby. And so I thought, okay, she's going to watch me. I don't have to be worried about it. So I crossed the street and started walking. But pretty quickly after I crossed the street, I heard these footsteps behind me. And so it's kind of startled me because it was nighttime, right? So I turned around and I looked, and it was a woman, a stranger, and she was pretty close to me, and she was looking at me. And so she made me feel really uncomfortable, so I started walking faster. But then I could hear her footsteps moving faster too. And so then pretty soon I'm at a fast pace, I'm running. And I was almost at the restaurant when she grabbed my arm and she started pulling me away from the restaurant and towards the street. And so thankfully, my mom was watching me. She came up running and she pulled me away from the woman, and the woman ran away. But when that happened, I kind of froze in fear. I didn't say anything, I didn't scream, I didn't fight. I just kind of allowed her to pull me away. And so although I was physically fine, emotionally I was a wreck. And so shortly after this, I started having problems going to school. I had problems sleeping, I had problems eating, I had problems everywhere really. And I had this one reoccurring nightmare, the same nightmare over and over, for like 18 plus years that followed me. My mom took me to the doctors, and she, for what she called was a upset stomach. And at that time I was young, I didn't know it was anxiety. And they started me with Mylanta, and then they quickly moved me to phenobarbital. The incident was never ever mentioned again, and I think it was because my mom and dad really thought they were protecting me by not sharing it and making me worry, but it did the complete opposite. It made me worry even more. So my fear grew and grew. And so that night it happened, the only time they talked about it, they said, Linda, if this ever happens to you again, you have to scream, you have to fight, you have to bite, you have to kick. You cannot be just pulled away by a stranger. And so I listened to those words, but really what hit me most was that maybe this could happen again. So I carried my fear, kind of like Kyle, like a little friend with me through my teen years, through college, as an adult, and also as a parent. And I'm just going to share an example of how my fear would manifest. So my son, my oldest son, Jeffrey, was in college, and he lived in an apartment off the UCI campus. And so it was about a 30-minute bike ride, and that year he decided he was going to ride his bike. And of course, I was not a fan of him riding his bike, because I worried. So I said, are you on a bike path? Are you wearing a helmet? How long does it take you to get there? Is there a lot of traffic? And he assured me he was fine, so he continued to ride his bike. And one morning I was getting ready for work, and I saw in the news that somebody got hit, a bicyclist got hit in Irvine. So I looked quickly, and I saw that it wasn't even close to where he lived. But this is how my fear worked. So I began thinking, oh my gosh, it could still be him. Maybe he went to go visit a friend. Maybe he's running an errand. Maybe he stayed at a friend's house. So I drove myself like kind of frantic, and I had to text Jeffrey and then anxiously await his response. And of course, he was fine. And I know most people would just stop at, oh, it's not even close. But this is how my fear worked. I processed almost everything through the lens of fear, like little legitimate concerns just spiraled into full-blown panic. And Daniel would always say to me, why do you have to go down that bad road every time? And I'd say, I don't know, you know? But the Lord is good. In his perfect timing, he placed me in a prayer group with four women. And one of the women was saying, and I shared my concern that I was always worried, always anxious. And I knew that the Lord wanted me to hear her, what she was going to say, because it was really weird. As the other women were praying for me individually, I could kind of not really hear their voice. It was like muffled. But I had like this direct line to saying, and it was like the Lord was telling me, listen to what she's going to say. So Tsang spoke, and this is what she said to me. She said, "Lord Linda, the Lord has given you a new name, and your new name is Courageous." And at first I thought, courageous? That's complete opposite how I feel. But then that's exactly who I wanted to be. So I decided to take a step of faith after saying prayed for me and go for prayer ministry time with the PMT group. And so the Lord revealed so much to me in that time. When I pictured the woman pulling me away and trying to steal me away, the team asked me, "What weapon does the Lord give you?" And I felt like the Lord said to me, "I give you a voice without fear and hesitation, a voice that I really hadn't used for so many years." And so Daniel can attest to my voice. He's very patient, and I'm so thankful. He's very gracious, too. And the prayer team asked me to close the door to fear, and that door really took actually a long time to close, but I finally saw it closed, and then I saw the Lord Jesus standing in front of the door with his hands like this. And it was like he was reminding me that, "Linda, that door is closed. He knows me so well. You may not try to get back behind that door." And then I was asked to give my fear and my anxiety and my worry to the Lord and ask him what he has to give in replace of that. And so I heard the Lord say, "I give you my joy and my strength." And this is the really crazy part, because I really didn't really understand how much joy I had been stolen from me until the Lord removed that spirit of fear. Like peace rushed in. It was a really new feeling for me, because I had lived my life with fear all the time. The spirit of fear is so sneaky. You know, it says in the Bible, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And when the pandemic hit, I had that same kind of friend, a familiar spirit kind of try to come in and try to take my eyes off the Lord. And I could see that the enemy was trying to steal my joy. And I knew that God had still given me that, but I kept moving towards kind of fear. And I was reminded during that time that I needed to surrender, my fears to him again. And my fears for my loved ones, my husband, for my kids, and even for my own health as well. He also reminded me that he had given me some words when I wrote years ago in a journal. I don't journal very often, but this is one of the things that he gave me, and I'm going to share part of the journal. I wrote, "Lord, I sit and rest at your feet. I wait to hear what you have for me. Jesus, when you needed a quiet place, you rested and you listened to your Father." And so I heard him saying, "I love you. I love that you have taken a step of faith with me. Continue to move in my strength. I want to show you so much more. There's so much more I want you to see and experience through me. Keep moving. Don't stay still. I will hold your hand through each step, and you will have me by your side. Keep listening for me. Keep moving. Linda, you will never experience more without me. Little steps will become bigger steps." And I have to say that he's been super faithful to those promises. He's shown me that he's able to do abundantly more than I could ever dream of. He set me free from worry and anxiety and fear. And I also remember to read his word, because in it I see God's power and authority over fear. God reminds me that I need to keep taking steps of faith, trusting him. And each time I overcome, I experience victory and joy, knowing that I'm not the same Linda. I'm different because of his strength and because of his faithfulness. Now even my dreams are different. It's kind of cool. I used to have this scary dream for years that this kind of scary man was following me and chasing me, and I would wake up just before he got to me. But now my dreams are I'm running into a room, fighting enemies with a sword and not being afraid. That's so good. Jesus came to bring us eternal life and to set the captives free. I used to focus on the blessings of eternal life, and I thought, you know, I'm so thankful for eternal life, but while I'm here on earth, I want his abundant life. I want a life free from whatever hinders me. So it's really God's mercy and grace that he grows us into who we were always meant to be and prepares us for what is to come. Psalms 142 says,
Bring my soul out of prison so that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. So I thank God for what he's done in my life, and I thank God for all the people he sent in my life to surround me, encourage me, pray for me. Maybe you struggle with a constant battle of fear, or maybe you think it's under control, but fear keeps showing up in your life. So I pray you would be encouraged to take a step of faith and see what amazing things God has for you. Thanks.
Now I know why he put her on my heart to share. I didn't even know Linda's full testimony. I didn't ask her before. When she shared last time, the recording didn't work. And so I think I was teaching children stuff, and I didn't get to hear it. I heard from people, it was awesome, it was so good, and I didn't get to hear it. And I felt like the Lord said, you don't need to know. Just wait until Sunday, you'll find out. And so thank you, Linda, for sharing. God has so much more for us, just as Linda shared, for each one of us. I think I like the way you said, if you're battling fear or you think you have it under control. Because I think that's the way I live my life. I thought I had fear under control. It would well up. It would be like a week here, a week there, or this topic. And then once that would subside, okay, now it's not really that. It's just worry or it's just a little anxiousness. But there's roots. You know, in the intercessor's time this morning, they talked about cultivating the soil, tearing out the roots of especially the weeds of fear. We need to pull it out down deep. And mine took time, right? It was good, but each time I got freer and freer. It's not like I had to go through it all at one time, probably because I couldn't handle it, right? But the Lord is gracious. But we have to take those steps of faith. We have to identify it, and we have to just say, I don't want this. I don't want to pass my junk to my kids. You know, if you're a parent, I hope that's in your heart too. Close with this verse, 1 John 4:18. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. That verse always resonated with me growing up. But I didn't understand it until I started overcoming fear. It was something I wanted. I want to expelling fear. That's like, get it out of me. I wanted that, but I didn't know how to do it. I found a quote from A.W. Tozer. He's an American pastor, theologian. I read this part. He says, "The only fear I have is to fear to get out of the will of God. In the will of God, there's nothing I fear." You know, in the small groups, we're talking a lot about staying in alignment, having our body, soul, and spirit in alignment with the Holy Spirit. If we stay in alignment, really, there is nothing to fear. I mean, fears come. I still battle with them. I mean, it's like, it's life. But you don't let them take root, and you're able to get over them because you go to the Lord, and it's a battle. You know, we're going to have some ministry time after this. Jody got some of the prayer ministry team together. They're going to have little necklaces on so you know who they are, little badges. But I thought, you know what? People need to be able to respond. Because like Barry said, that faith is a verb. You have to take a step of faith to overcome. So being an overcomer takes that step of faith. So they're going to be up here in the front. The kids will move out, and we'll have some room up here for you guys. I've been in a seat before. I've had the Lord put on my heart, you need to go up to the front to get prayer. And I've had the arguments with God. No, I don't want to. People are going to think I'm weird. People are going to think I'm a disaster inside. I know all that stuff. That's all fear. That's the enemies putting those fears in your heart, in your mind. You know what? Once you get out of your seat, that first step, those fears go away. They're gone. And then you come up and then you get to receive the goodness of it. But I do know that for some of you, even taking that first step is hard. So get out your phone. Jody, J-O-D-I, at catalystchristiancommunity.org. No, I'm serious. I get it. It's hard to come up to the front. But if you're not ready, say, send her an email. Jody, I'm scared, but I want to overcome whatever, fear, whatever it is that you need to overcome. I need to have a prayer ministry team. Maybe you don't know anybody on the prayer ministry team. I know them all. They're awesome. They're awesome people. It's a step of faith. Trust that they're good people and they want the best for you. They get so happy when you're freed. Where's she at? She left. She's back there. She was in my PMT session. She's the one that was helping me release that ball of fear. So she was in two of my episodes, things that I talked about. And she was in, it was in Linda's. They get so excited when they get to help you. They're basically the avenue of the Holy Spirit freeing you. You don't understand the joy that they have in doing that. Their heart is for you. That's enough of me talking. Worship team, why don't you come up? Let's close. God, fear is real, but it's no match for you, no match for your blood, Jesus. You've called us to be overcomers, because Jesus, you said, fear not, because I have overcome the world. You are the overcomer. You're the great I am, and right now I pray for your peace, your power, your sound mind, the Spirit from you, Holy Spirit, that would override any fears, any doubts, any anxiousness. Lord, you want people to experience what perfect love is. And until you experience that, it's hard to understand that verse. But you love us so much, you don't want us to live in this bondage to anything, to any kind of sin or fear or any kind of emotion that's negative. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's what you have for us, and that's what you have this morning. So I just pray for over the hearts of those that are have had things stirred this morning, that you would give them the courage to act on it. Take that step of faith, whether it's up here in the front or it's setting up an appointment with Jody. Lord, you have good things in store for them. And so just thank you for your goodness. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'd be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.